Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera bersama saya Najib Arof dan ini Niaga Awani. Bank Negara Malaysia BNM mengalung-alungkan inisiatif industri perbankan dan agensi kaunseling dan pengurusan kredit AKPK yang memperkenalkan program pengurusan dan ketahanan kewangan atau urus bagi peminjam individu yang teruk yang terjejas akibat pandemik COVID-19. Gubernur BNM Datuk Nur Syamsiah Mohamad Yunus berkata bank pusat itu telah bekerjasama dengan AKPK untuk membangunkan penyelesaian pengurusan hutang dan perancangan kewangan yang holistik. Katanya penyelesaian itu bertujuan menyediakan bantuan bersesuaian kepada peminjam supaya mereka dapat membayar kembali pinjaman dan pada masa yang sama mengukuhkan kedudukan kewangan mereka. Tambahnya pelaksanaan urus juga adalah selaras dengan usaha yang dilakukan BNM selama ini. Malaysia Airports Holdings Berhad kini bersedia menerima kehadiran pelancong ke 39 rangkaian lapangan terbangnya susulan kelonggaran sekatan perjalanan domestik dan antarabangsa yang diumumkan. Dan juga Ketua Pegawai Eksekutif MEHB Datuk Muhammad Syukri Muhammad Saleh berkata pihaknya menjangkakan lonjakan pergerakan penumpang dalam tempoh beberapa bulan yang akan datang. Katanya selain pelaksanaan langkah keselamatan untuk mengembalikan keyakinan penumpang terhadap perjalanan udara, kemudahan di kesemua lapangan terbang MEHB juga ditambah baik. Malah kakitangan juga sudah bersedia untuk beroperasi pada tahap kecekapan optimum. Seramai 37,415 perniagaan dilapor gulung tikar berikutan terkesan akibat pandemik COVID-19. Daripada jumlah tersebut, seramai 26,007 merupakan usahawan mikro, diikuti 2,738 lagi membabitkan perusahaan kecil dan setahana PKS. Sudah banyak bantuan diberikan dan diumumkan melalui pelbagai pakej rangsangan. Namun, menjelang bajet 2022, apakah fokus yang harus diberi tumpuan bagi memperkasakan lagi PKS kita? Kita bersama dengan Pengerusi Pusat Persatuan Perusahaan Kecil dan Setahanan dan Samenta, Datuk William Ng yang bersedia pada ketika ini. Datuk, thank you so much for joining us. Datuk, US adjusted personal income tax for 2021 should be exempted for those with gross income of below 80,000 so that we can stimulate spending among M40 group. With cost cutting measures taken by companies by retrenching their workforce and also cutting off a portion of salary, do you think that tax exemption is the best solution to boost spending?
Yeah, good morning, Najib. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of SMEs. So to provide a perspective to the issue, Samantha has proposed not one, but 19 points as to how we can quickly revive our economy and prepare our businesses, including SMEs, for the post-pandemic economy. One of the key themes of our proposal is to stimulate consumer consumption, including this proposal for a tax waiver for taxable income up to 80,000 ringgit. The basis of proposal is that the M40s are the ones with the highest propensity to spend domestically. So therefore, most, if not part of this spending, will also cycle back into the government's revenue via consumption tax, i.e. our SST. And of course, corporate tax will also pick up as the economy recovers as well. But you're absolutely right that many in the workforce, both the M40 and B40, has been hit hard by the unemployment and also salary cuts, as you mentioned, and so on. That is why we have also proposed that a wage subsidy and incentive for rehiring be maintained until at least June 2022.
And also, Dato', you also suggested that the government lowers the SST to a flat rate of 4% to stimulate the consumer demand as well, then reduce administrative work and also the customs department as well. How do we balance between this suggestion and also for the government to collect tax to provide cash assistance?
Well, the SST makes up about 8% of our total tax revenue. So again, the reduced tax collection will be cycled back to our tax revenue via higher corporate tax and perhaps even higher absolute SST collection as more Malaysians spend domestically. Of course, I think it is important that the government continue to support the lowest income group, but it's also important that they disperse this handout in a way that best support the economy. For example, we have suggested for the 1,000 ringgit food voucher to be dispersed over 5 months in place of the current practice of lump sum payment. The point is this, Najib. We're giving handouts because we know that rakyat is struggling. So give them food vouchers that they can use to buy groceries and essentials from supermarkets and other retail outlets. And at the same time, then we're also supporting our local domestic market. Currently, what we're doing is we're giving money in a lump sum. And a lot of this end up in the various online marketplaces. In fact, the two largest marketplaces, the one that start with S and the other one with L, are both foreign-owned. and a huge majority of the sellers are based out of China. So most of these goods enter Malaysia without being taxed. So in essence, when we give handouts without promoting the consumption domestically, you're actually making people happy, but not necessarily better off. That is the definition of a ban aid.
It is a doable. We do have the system and technology.
Yeah, that's absolutely, we do have that.
Okay. And also, Dato', GST is a hot topic now. We might see economic recovery sometime in 2023, hopefully. And do you think that SMEs are well prepared for a new tax or the reintroduction of GST?
Indeed, you're right. This is a very sensitive topic and unfortunately have been heavily politicized. First of all, I don't need to go into why GST is better for business and the government. These are well documented and argued. We must remember that most SMEs have already gone through the difficult transition in 2015 to GST. So unlike the first time round when we introduced the GST, most SMEs are already familiar with how it works. The only thing we need to improve is to speed up refunds for zero-rated supplies. Previously, this took months. You know, people say 3 to 6 months, and many SMEs until today are still complaining they haven't gotten a refund until today, more than 2 years after we have scrapped the GST. Another primary concern of SME, of course, is the software cost and manpower to calculating the GST. In 2015, this was a huge problem because as most SMEs had to upgrade their software and some have to send their accounting staff for training. But today, many of our accounting staff are already aware how to collect, calculate, and even perhaps submit the GST. Plus, the software developers already have these GST modules. So I think with any change, consumers and of course also the SMEs will find it very difficult. But we need to take a look at it from a longer perspective and ask ourselves, which regime is better for business? And the answer is definitely GST. Again, I'm only speaking from an SME perspective, so I hope the politicians and supporters understand this.
Yeah, but based on the SME's perspective, what is the best rate or the appropriate rate for GST reintroduction?
We are proposing a lower rate of 4% versus the previous imposed percentage.
Yeah, all right. And also, Dato', under the economic aid packages, the government has provided a series of wage subsidy you mentioned just now, which is worth RM600. You mentioned before that this should continue up until 2022. Is this a good time frame for SMEs to recover, given that the government has said that the economy will never be closed again, even if the COVID-19 cases spike?
I think if there is one policy that has kept our society in order during this pandemic, I think it is really the wage subsidy program. Not so much the Bantuan Prihatin, but the wage subsidy program. I think without the wage subsidy, our employment would have ballooned easily up to 12-15% instead of the current 4-5% that we're experiencing now. The reality is this, even after 2 years, I think we don't know enough about COVID-19. If you remember in March this year, the previous Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin said there will be no more MCO. And of course, then we know what happened after that. So you have two choices. You can keep giving handouts every month to everyone, even if they don't need to. But how much money do we have to continue doing so? Or we can help our SMEs to survive, keep more people employed, and perhaps even hire more people. I think that way you make sure more Malaysians are unemployed while our SMEs and the economy can continue to survive. We're not asking for direct handouts to SMEs. What we want is for SMEs to be given help to keep hiring our staff, to pay our suppliers, to do business and make enough money to survive and grow. So it is crucial that the government consider extending the wage subsidy program away to at least June 2022.
Dato', you also mentioned before this on separate interview that 30% government procurement should be set aside for SMEs to compete among themselves. This sounds like a viable and doable solution. What's stopping this from happening? Should budget 2022 introduce this kind of policy?
I think back in as far as 2018, Samantha was the first association to propose a 30% government procurement quota for SMEs. I think by 2019, if you remember, the government in fact has came out with a press release to say, and especially the Ministry of Entrepreneur Development, to announce that they are looking into the suggestion, and that could have actually gone into budget 2021. Unfortunately, of course, two things happened. One, COVID-19, and secondly, of course, we have a new government in place. I think this is a quick and simple solution if you're serious about supporting the growth of our SMEs. The government don't incur a single cent because what we will be buying are exactly what we'll be buying anyway. But we allocate this purchase to SMEs via a transparent and fair bidding system to support our SMEs. So yes, we are again calling the government to allocate 30% of government procurement to SMEs. It is still not too late to do so, even though the budget is scheduled to announce by end of this month. We've sent this proposal to the finance minister, and I'm sure he will seriously consider this matter.
Okay. Dato', last but not least, pandemic certainly has become a reality check for us. We now know more about what we are lacking in terms of building resilience. As for SMEs, what does it take for them to build their resilience?
I think there are two things that we need to do now if we haven't done so already. The first, of course, is to increase our productivity. How do we spend less or the same amount on people and our machinery and yet able to generate a larger amount of output? That has always been a huge problem for us, even before the pandemic. Samantha is working very closely with MPC, the Malaysia Productivity Corporation, to help our SMEs to become more productive. However, we are still up against many structural changes, challenges rather. So on the one hand, we know we must have a more productive workforce, and yet the whole society and even our laws are still very much based on turning up for work or time-based rather than productivity-based. So while we wait for the laws and our legislators to catch up, we just have to continue to train and adopt our system to enhance our productivity. So that's number one. The second is really to adopt technology. The current buzzword, of course, is digitalization. And for many SMEs, digitalization is a big, frankly, scary word. But it's important that we adopt technology if we are to build our resilience moving forward. I think don't worry about the big word. Do whatever it is comfortable and one step at a time. For example, it can be as simple as for the SME to accept e-wallet in your shop and perhaps even listing your products in one of the many e-commerce websites out there. Many of these are free. So start small, but start now in terms of going into and using technology. I think these are very important.
Okay, alright. Dato', thank you so much for joining us at this time. Dato' William Ng, yang merupakan pengurusi Pusat Persatuan Pesanan Kecil dan Sederhana Samenta, mengulas tentang apakah harapan dan juga apa yang seharusnya terkandung dalam bajet 2022 untuk membantu memperkasakan lagi PKS kita. Kita berhenti seketika kembali selepas ini. Hong Leong Investment Bank Research menaik taraf saranan saham Petronas Chemicals Group Berhad kepada beli pada harga sasaran lebih tinggi sebanyak RM10.65 berbanding RM8.75 sebelum ini. M Investment Bank Research melihat pengambil alihan Micris Asia Senyum Berhad memberi impak minimum kepada Maxis Berhad. Firma itu mengekalkan saranan pegang bagi saham Maxis dengan nilai tidak berubah pada RM5 sesaham. CGS CIMB melihat langkah kerajaan India mengurangkan duty import minyak boleh dimakan positif kepada syarikat peladangan huluan dan pemain bersepadu minyak sawit di rantau ini. Laporan penuh di saluran 501 dan astrawan.com serta dagangnews.com. Bertemu